Welcome to another episode of Inside Rock. This episode is called You Can Judge a Song by Its Cover with Oat, Queeks,
and Cha,
the Jabber Guys.
Yeah, on this episode, we have a special guest. We're bringing back the Giz.
Oh, the Giz is back in town. The Giz is back in town. That's a song, for those you don't know, by Thin Gizzy.
Yeah, that's bad. That was bad.
That's great.
Yeah, so he's going to add some color commentary to the podcast, and he's got a couple stories from his past experiences, right, Giz?
Yeah, looking forward to it. Back again with the guys. Doesn't get much better than this.
That's.
Although I was mostly pumped because he brought moose meat tonight.
Oh yeah.
Yes, yeah. We did eat well tonight.
Oh man, did
sure.
We ever?
I think we're all ready for a nap.
But first, we got to try to get through the show.
Absolutely.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah. You know, a few drinks, some venison, some moose meat, fries, onion rings. It was a good night.
Not bad at all.
Yeah.
Not bad at all. Yeah.
Now, we were hoping to have another guest, but, you know, we got Giz, but that's okay.
Who was that, Josh?
She couldn't show up.
No.
Oh, the stripper you tried to get.
Yeah, she couldn't make it.
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah. Okay.
The Giz is here, so we're glad to have him. And we're talking about songs that have been covered by other bands, and in some cases did even better than the original.
Yeah, some did, and some didn't. But ones we're going to talk about, I think everybody's familiar with them. You probably heard most of these. And you probably thought they were the original artists, but they weren't.
So, for example, you got one there, Queeks?
Well, let's go with a Canadian band. Everybody knows the Guess Who?
Oh, yeah. Of course. Their huge breakout song, which really made them popular in the States, was?
American Woman.
American Woman.
And, it was called American Woman, but it was really a tribute to Canadian women. That's why they wrote the song for Canadian women. If you listen to the lyrics, right, it's more pro-Canadian women.
Yeah, and that was their huge breakout song. But then somebody else covered it after them.
Yeah, he did.
Jeez, I wonder who that was.
Wow, this guy won a Grammy Award for Best Male Vocal in 1999 for this song. Who is it? Come on, somebody back up.
Lenny, baby.
Mr. Cool. Lenny Kravitz is like the coolest.
Yeah,
artist.
He's Kravitz, yeah.
Right?
He's cool. But you know what? That's very surprising, I bet, to most people, because you think of Lenny? I don't know. Like, that's the song you think of. That's the one they play the most on the radio. American Woman by Lenny Kravitz.
Not me personally. I mean,
No, you know what I mean, though. Like, mainstream.
Yeah, no, it was a big hit for him, for sure.
Yeah.
Thank the Canadian boys for that one, right?
Or the Canadian women.
Women.
When I think of American Woman, I think of the Guess Who.
Yeah, I mean, think about that. That was, that's 50, going to be 51 years ago.
Man, you're old.
51 years ago. It was 1970 when they released that, right?
Yeah.
The Guess Who.
What were you? Oh, you were about like 30 or 40 back then?
I was actually in high school.
Oh, Charlie, better speak up. He can't quite hear you.
And so it begins.
See, Giz, this is what I put up with.
Turn up the volume.
Yeah, this is what I put up with. All right. Okay, so that's that one. What about another one?
Well, hold on a minute. Hold on. Giz was just talking to me about Burton Cummings, right?
Mm-hmm.
Tell us the story about Burton Cummings.
Oh, my God. Burton Cummings, yeah. Okay, so this was actually just 2 years ago at the Rama Casino.
Casino Rama,
You know, I'd never seen Burton Cummings or the Guess Who live, and so this was a good chance to go and see him perform. So Burton comes out, one man, one piano. The piano doesn't work.
Oh, no.
Nightmare. How can a piano not work?
So he's twiddling the keys, and it does not, obviously it's a keyboard, but it was, I should say that. And so he's just sitting there and stares over at stage left and says, somebody get their ass out here. And they go out, and he's starting to play around with it to try to fix it. And he goes, says to the crowd, by the way, this guy, this is his last shift. He's never working here again.
Poor
he's
slob's done. Out there trying to get and it fixed. He's being humiliated in front of thousands of people.
Yeah, thousands of people. And there's this kind of a oh, I think he's trying to be funny. I think this is funny. And Burton decides to turn it into a little bit of a song about this guy being his last time once the keyboard started working again. And I thought, wow, that guy, to be that guy that night was just crazy.
That's embarrassing. So yeah, he was not kind to the man.
He was not kind to the man. Who knows what happened to him?
I'd like to look that up. We're going to have to dig into that and find out what happened to that poor guy.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, but
he's probably working coat check, you know, doing something where he can't fuck it up. So,
oh, you can fuck up coat check.
Well, you can actually.
Oh, you get the tags messed up. Yeah. Oh, yeah, there's troubles.
You sound like you're speaking from experience.
No. I just had my coat lost a couple of times. That's all I'm saying.
But sometimes it can work in your favor.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, this is a nicer coat. Thank you.
Yeah, that could happen to me quite easily.
What's the better coat? That's the one I want.
Yeah. Yeah. Anyway, well, yeah, because I just wanted you to share that story about Burton Cummings, you know.
Don't you have a joke?
Good old Burton.
No, we're not. He doesn't want me to tell it.
I'm not telling that joke.
Oh.
No, maybe another time.
Put it in the show notes, then. People can read it.
I'll let you use your imagination.
Yeah, all right. I'll put it in the show notes.
There we go.
Okay. Yes.
All right. Oates getting, see, he's starting to censor us now.
I know.
You're starting to censor us.
I know, and I was going to say I've heard that Burton Cummings was kind of a dick.
Well, that's okay. That goes along with the joke. What's white and sits on a piano bench?
Oh, see,
Burton's Cummings.
Oh. There, see?
Listen, I wasn't going to tell, but he said he was a dick, and it was a perfect segue. I couldn't help it.
He just saved you some work. You don't have to put it in the show notes.
See, now I've got to put the rating on the podcast.
Well, listen, you got to put a trigger announcement on there.
A rating?
Yeah.
Dude, again, just save some time. Just put R in all of them.
That's all. All right. There you go. All right, well, that's great. But well, there's one. There's our first cover song. That was a good tune, though, by Lenny. And it had that kind of, what's that called? Remember the sound he had for that when he was singing? What's that called?
Oh,
do you know what I mean?
It was not a distortion.
It was almost like a distortion kind of thing. I don't know what that's called.
Yeah.
But it had a different sound to it. Yeah.
Hmm.
Yeah. I wasn't crazy about it.
You know what? I'll find a version of it on YouTube and put it in the show notes.
Hey, never mind. You know what my favorite cover of American Woman is, other than the guess who, but the cover was by Crocus. Remember Crocus?
Oh, my God. I forgot about that.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely. Crocus covered that, and it was great.
Yeah. So which one do you want me to put in the show notes? Lenny Kravitz or Crocus?
Yeah, put them both in there, man.
All right. We'll put them both in.
Yeah. Crocus. Oh my gosh. I forgot all about those guys.
Remember that? Their shiny moment must have been for opening for Rush.
Oh, they did.
Yeah, they did.
They did. Crocus did open for Rush.
Yeah, they were the opening act on, I'm trying to think of what tour that was, maybe Signals.
That's huge.
Way back. Yeah.
Love Crocus. Great band. I love them.
Yeah.
Long Stick Goes Boom. That was one of my favorite tunes by Crocus. Anyway, sorry, we're getting off track. Anyway.
Are we?
Yeah, I don't know. Anyway, so here's a guy. Here's a guy that early in his career wrote songs for other artists. And we're talking about The Boss.
Bruce.
Okay. So what song did he write? Somebody speak up.
Because of the Night.
Yeah, baby. Patti Smith.
Yeah. When I think of that song, I think of Patti Smith.
Yeah. 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 It was really a big hit for her. Patti Smith's big anyway, but that was a really big hit for her in the 70s. Speak up.
Since you're talking about Bruce Springsteen,
yeah,
what was the other one that he?
Blinded by the Light.
Blinded by the Light.
I was fascinated by that.
Yeah, Manfred Mann.
Yeah. That's who I think of. I didn't know Springsteen had anything to do with that.
No. Oh yeah,
and such a different sound. Both arrangements are just so uniquely different too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
yeah, for sure. Yeah. Yeah, but I remember seeing Manfred Mann on the Midnight Special. I remember them seeing that doing one of the first times I've heard Blinded by the Light, and I saw them on Midnight Special back in the 70s do it. Yeah, it was great. It's like a long song, too.
Because you got to remember the Midnight Special.
Oh, absolutely.
I know. I didn't want to insult you.
Oh, yeah.
Come on. We just wanted to verbalize it.
Bert Sugarman.
I was at least out of diapers around that time, so yeah. Remember it well.
So you were like 12.
Nice.
Yeah, in dog years.
All right, so here's one we talked about in a previous podcast.
Yep.
Louie Louie by the Kingsmen.
Yeah. Originally performed by Rockin' Robin Roberts and the Wailers. That's who originally did it, I guess.
You know how many bands have done that song?
Oh, tons.
There's a list.
Yeah.
And we still don't know what the words are.
No, nobody does. Well, we talked about that, about the FBI investigation. Parents and everybody, they were outraged because what is he saying?
Some underlining code.
Yeah, they thought it was some hidden satanic message or something in the lyrics.
Meanwhile, the guy was just shit faced.
Yeah, pretty much.
Great tune though.
But one of those songs that guitarists always learn. One of the first ones they learn is that you got that nice repetitive.
It's over and over. Yeah,
right. It's three chords.
Yeah. It's three chords.
It took him less than an hour to record that. The Kingsmen.
When I think of Louie Louie, what movie do you think of?
Animal House.
Of course,
1978.
Otis.
Otis Day and the Nights.
My Otis, my man.
Anyway.
Oh, man.
All right.
Okay, I've got one.
Yep. Okay.
The All Along the Watchtower by Hendrix.
Oh, you went right for the big one, did you?
Well, let's do it.
Jeez. You did it. The big one. This one tops a lot of lists of favorite covers.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, if you look on the internet. Yeah, for sure. Bob Dylan was humbled, I guess. He thought he was overwhelmed, is what he said, when he first heard it. It's so different from his version.
Yeah.
But he was in favor of it. He really loved it.
Yeah. By Jimi Hendrix.
Yeah. Let's jump ahead to a little bit of disco. What about the queen of disco? Donna Summer.
Donna Summer, right.
Right. So she did, one of her big hits was MacArthur Park. Everybody knows this song. But it was actually a cover by the original artist was Richard Harris.
Yeah, and Richard Harris did it on a lark. It wasn't even supposed to be serious.
Oh, I know. Well, listen here.
Hum up a couple bars.
Which song is it?
You hum.
Come on.
So
I'm serious. I don't know what song
it is. It starts out really slow. It's a. I can't. Well, we can't play
something
it.
About the,
whistle.
Oh, that's something about baking a cake.
Well, so it's also known as
this.
It's also known as the Cake in the Rain song.
Yeah.
So listen to this one verse, and this will give you an idea. This guy had to be on acid when he wrote this. MacArthur's Park is melting in the dark. All the sweet green icing flowing down. Someone left the cake out in the rain. I don't think that I can take it because it took so long to bake it, and I'll never have that recipe again.
That's a sad song.
Wow.
Cake in the Rain song.
That's it. Cake in the Rain.
It's almost like a mix between Dr. Seuss and somebody else.
Dr. Seuss.
I don't know. Maybe they're outside of Baskin Robbins or something.
Something.
On a hot day.
Anyway, that's a great cover.
Yeah.
Speaking of covers, which we are all this whole show, what about
Me and Bobby McGee?
Me and Bobby McGee.
By Janis Joplin. That's who I think of.
Well, of course, right?
Yeah, of course.
But Giz, who actually wrote it?
Chris Christopherson.
There you go.
That's right.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep. He was a hell of a songwriter.
Yeah, he was for sure. What else did he do?
Sunday Morning Coming Down.
There it is. Yeah, we were talking about that earlier.
That was Johnny's comeback song pretty much after, one of his many drug-fueled relapses. And
Johnny Chris, Cash.
Chris, Johnny Cash. Yeah. And Chris gave him this song to help him rebuild his career. Yeah, it was a really cool. That's a great song.
Yeah, that's pretty cool. Pretty cool. Janis Joplin, one of the 27 Club members.
Yeah.
Yeah, a lot of people died when they
Jimi
were 27.
Jimi Hendrix. Yeah. There's so many. Yeah, we'll do another show.
Jim Morrison. Yeah.
Oh, Amy Kirk Winehouse. Cobain,
the 27 Club. Yeah. It's crazy.
I know.
Okay.
So this next chick, she pretty much, we talked about her and when she was on Saturday Night Live the picture of the Pope up and
O'Connor
fight the real enemy. Won't bet, but she had a huge hit. Nothing Compares to You.
That was a great song.
Yeah. Well, you associate that song with her, but who actually did it? Who actually wrote it?
Prince.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Did Prince actually ever perform that? I'm sure he did at some point, but I don't remember actually.
He did. He's got his cover is really good. Oh, I shouldn't say it's a cover. It's his song.
Yeah.
It's his song, but his version is really quite good. Yeah.
Hmm.
Yeah. Great guitar player too.
Yeah. She went downhill in flames after that. Eh? She couldn't get a job at a taco stand after that thing.
Yeah, it probably wasn't the best timing for her.
Well, it's not that she was wrong.
No.
It's just that it was delivered inappropriately.
I would agree.
Yeah.
I would agree.
Who was that artist that sang Over the Rainbow? That's another
Judy Garland. You're going to, you just want to hear me try to say that song or say his name, right? Well, I'm going to give it a shot.
Let's You're go. Right? Let's go.
All right. Israeli guacamole olio. That's not even freaking close. It was Kamakawayolo.
You did really well earlier. Yeah.
You did that just to hear me say it, didn't
you? We just want to hear you say it.
Yeah, but. I know. So, I mean, originally by Judy Garland and Louis Armstrong, right? So it's a combo song. But it was a great version. I mean, a lot of different movies and TV shows have used his version. Let's just call him Israel K.
Israel K. I think that actually was his nickname.
Israel K.
Yeah.
Because nobody could pronounce his last name. Now, unfortunately, Israel is no longer with us. He's passed
Died
away.
In 1997. Yeah.
Yeah, from respiratory.
Heart failure.
He was a big, big man.
Big John.
Yeah.
Right? Jimmy Dean. Big John. Yeah.
I love that song.
I know. Big Bad John.
I love that song. Anyway, but we digress. If I were to ask you, blue suede shoes.
Oh, you think of Elvis right away, right?
You don't think of Carl Perkins?
Well, doesn't spring to mind, but you're right. It was originally done by Carl Perkins.
Yeah, isn't that amazing though? Like some of these songs by some of these entertainers are huge, and sometimes you think that's what you think about the entertainer when you hear the song.
Elvis didn't write any songs.
Not very many. No,
I can't think of any that he wrote.
Queeks is holding up a big zero.
Zilch. He didn't write any of his songs.
No, he just...
He wasn't a songwriter, he was a performer. Yeah.
Now,
what about Suspicious Minds? Who wrote Suspicious Minds?
That's a great question. I mean, that's been covered a lot as well.
It has.
That's my favorite Elvis song as a cover.
It is, yeah.
For sure.
There is a band called the Fine Young Cannibals that did an 80s version of that. You remember that?
Of course.
Yeah, of course, yeah.
I'm not allowed to play it in my house, but I think it's fantastic. But
why are you not allowed to play it in your house?
Oh, my son just hates the song completely. He can't stand it. But I thought they did a great job with that. But Suspicious Minds must have been covered so many times over the years. It's just tremendous.
So who sang it? Who wrote it?
Written and first recorded by American songwriter Mark James.
Oh, yeah, Mark James, yeah.
Mark James.
All these people that are behind the scenes.
Who the hell is Mark James?
That's what it says on Google. Who the hell is Mark James?
You go, right?
that's not a good sign.
Yeah, no.
Well, yeah. So, Elvis didn't write any of the songs. He had people write it, and he went out there and performed them.
Wow.
It's amazing when you think about it. You know, he's the most successful cover artist of all time.
Pretty much.
Now, are you just saying that? Or?
Yeah, I just made it up.
Pretty powerful statement.
See, we brought Giz on for factual accuracy. What about Ninja Sex Party? I thought they were the most popular.
Oh, my God. The Ninja Sex Party. We had to bring that up. Yeah. The Ninja Sex Party. Now, that's an amazing group right there.
Well, we're eating our moose and venison, and Giz says, let's listen to some Ninja Sex Party.
And we've all said, what?
I said, pardon?
It's a great way to get the party started. Let's just do some Ninja Sex Party.
So they did all covers, though.
They do all covers. Yeah, it's amazing. So they've got at least three volumes of it. And, of course, we did listen to a couple. They did some Rush, Limelight, which was okay.
They even did Boston.
More Than a Boston. Feeling, yeah. Something About You. Yeah.
Toto, some Africa. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, but it's not better than the original.
Definitely not.
No.
No.
But it's good. It's good listening stuff. It's good.
It's good. So if you want something different out there, tune in on Spotify to Ninja Sex Party.
Yeah, Ninja Sex Party. Yeah.
It's okay, Ninja Sex Party. Just send us a contribution.
That's it.
Through our website.
Or just send more moose meat.
Send more moose meat.
And I'll give credit to my son for the one that actually showed me that. So, yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
Did he?
Oh, the guy who doesn't like Suspicious Minds.
He's the one, yeah. Yeah, okay. Yeah, that one. Yeah. But he dares show me Ninja Sex Party and think that we're going to like that. But anyway, there you have it. Ninja Sex Party. The cover kings.
Okay.
All right. There you go.
Okay, what do you got next?
Okay, come on. You got to talk about Proud Mary.
All right.
Let's talk about Proud Mary.
Oh, the CCR tune?
Well, it was written in...
I don't give a crap. That was their tune.
Well, it was written by John Fogerty in March of 1969. And yeah, it was a really big hit for them. And it was a bigger hit for them than it was for Ike and Tina Turner Review. They did it 2 years later in 1971. And it peaked at number four for them, which is still great, you know, great showing. But CCR, you know what? Here's a little tidbit for you. You know how many number one hits CCR had?
None.
Zero.
Zip. That's ridiculous.
Isn't it crazy?
Really?
They've never had a number one hit. All the songs they have, it's crazy, I know. But but yeah, so I mean, come on, Tina Turner just friggin' nails it in that song. When you watch her perform that song live, it's amazing.
Well, the whole intro leading up to it, she's revving up.
Oh, it's great. Yeah. It's great. She puts a total different twist on it. So both versions were very successful. But
what's your favorite CCR song?
Oh, my gosh.
Take Proud Mary out of the mix.
Taking Proud Mary out? Probably Fortunate Son.
Yeah, me too.
Yeah.
Yeah, Fortunate Son.
That's
yeah.
a great tune.
Yeah, it is. Yeah. They use that. I mean, that's used in movies quite a bit, too. Mm-hmm. It's a great tune. Yeah.
I've got their double CD, a Crocodile Collection of CCR.
Nice.
It's amazing how many tunes that you actually know from.
Oh, Run Through the Jungle, Up Around the Bend.
Yeah.
See, I got to look for that next time we go album hunting.
Green River.
Yeah.
CCR would be a good vinyl to find.
Yeah,
right.
Next time we go album hunting, we got to look for some CCR. Yeah.
I've got two. I got Cosmos Factory, and I got their KTEL Greatest Hits of CCR. Remember KTEL Records? Yeah. Oh, come on. You got to have it. I got a whole milk crate full of KTEL records. They're the best.
Milk crate. Now, there's a classic milk container.
You know, can't find those. They're too narrow
so
now.
So here's the thing. Who's the idiot, okay, who designed the milk crate that was 11 and a half inches by 12 inches? Why would they do that? So you couldn't use them for your records, you bastards.
That's because everybody was stealing them, dude.
That's probably why.
Yeah. It was.
Yeah.
They were all being stolen.
For sure it was.
Yeah. They were stealing them. So let's make them a little bit narrower and fuck those guys who are stealing these things.
You. So you go and grab a milk crate and you get fucked. You know, you're already 2 miles away before you realize you got fucked.
Fucked in there.
That's a drive-thru.
I can imagine there was a police raid one day. They found like thousands of them in some guy's warehouse. Oh, yeah. And said, okay, we got to stop this.
Selling them off.
Hey, listen.
That's
rare.
Why they did it.
I'm telling you.
Imagine the first guy that found this out? You took it home, tried to put an album in. Like, what the fuck?
I know. This isn't a milk crate. I've been ripped off.
I can't fit my album into this stolen milk crate.
What's up with that?
Who do I call?
I want a refund.
They've been using record crates for milk.
Yeah, that's it. Exactly.
Yeah, that's what happened.
I know.
That's the real story behind it.
So there's still a whole bunch out there. So
well, you got to find. I gave you one for your album.
Thank you very much.
I kept a bunch, right, from the 70s. I never got rid of them. I knew. They were good. They were going to be gold.
Well, they'll make great Christmas gifts someday.
Here's a milk crate. Knock yourself out.
The original.
Yeah. That's it. All right. Okay, yeah. What about Woodstock by Crosby, Stills, Nash, and Young? No?
Okay.
No?
Is that highlighted? I don't think so, but okay, let's talk about Woodstock.
It was by Joni Mitchell.
We talked about Joni Mitchell. Where was Joni Mitchell?
Well, it wasn't about Woodstock.
When, what?
The song Woodstock.
Yeah. It wasn't about Woodstock.
It was about Charlie. No, I didn't say it wasn't about Woodstock.
What did you say?
That's the song.
I know.
Okay.
So, and my question was, do you know where Joni Mitchell was when Woodstock was going on? Those 4 days in Woodstock. Where was she? Did she perform at Woodstock?
Was she the one on the Dick Cavett show?
She's the one on the Dick Cavett show. So she was invited to Woodstock, but opted out. I can't remember the exact reason why she opted out, but she was on a talk show that weekend that Woodstock was going on. And she wrote the song about Woodstock without even being there. She wrote it based on what she heard about Woodstock.
Well, she was on the Dick Cavett show.
Well, she was on Dick Cavett. For those of you who know who Dick Cavett is, you can look him up. We're not even going to tell you.
We're going to have to look him up.
Yeah, he's like
Mike Douglas.
Mike Douglas, Dick Cavett, Merv Griffin. They were all the talk show hosts of the time.
Yeah.
Well, from what I hear, she probably got paid more doing that than she would have if she had done Woodstock.
Yeah,
pretty much. Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, but the historical significance of having been there.
Yeah, for sure. Well, a lot of the bands at Woodstock did it for free. Right?
Just to be there.
It was only the top, like Hendrix, he was the top paid guy.
And he came on after the 500,000 people left and there's only 50,000 left.
There's 40,000 or 50,000 people left.
Tumbleweeds.
It doesn't matter. He still got paid.
Yeah.
He still got paid. Yeah, that was funny. But anyway, Woodstock. Yeah, thanks for bringing that up, Cha.
Yeah, I'm glad I did. Very interesting.
All right.
But stupid.
Get smart.
No. Let's not get smart.
Very interesting. Oh, but that's Laughing.
That's right.
That's Laughing.
Yeah, that was Artie Johnson, remember? He's like the little Nazi guy hiding in the bushes.
Not to be confused with Artie Shaw.
Well, no, no. A totally different guy. Artie Johnson, yeah, no little guff. Nazi guy. Very interesting.
But stupid.
But stupid.
That's right.
That's what Chaw, just that's for Chaw. That was stupid.
Yeah.
Hey, what do you got, Chaw? You got something else to say? No, you shot me down last time. Fuck that.
And you cut it out.
No, I didn't cut shit out. All right, then I'm going to bring up something.
And this already R-rated.
He looks a little dazed and confused. That was before the break, before we got another drink. It's all good now.
Yeah, it's all good. I think I might be allergic to moose meat.
No, your head's always that big.
Oh!
What
the fuck's he talking about?
Allergic reaction. Your head.
No, it's okay, buddy. You're fine. You're fine. All right, go ahead. What do you got?
He's got nothing.
I got shit.
All right, you're good.
All right, I got something.
All right.
Dazed and Confused by
Zep.
By Led Zeppelin. And it was originally by Jake Holmes. And guys, you care to shed some light on Jake Holmes?
Well, I don't know who the hell Jake Holmes
is. No, you bitch. You just told
who the
me.
Hell is Jake Holmes?
Who's Jake Holmes?
Actually, it's funny. Jake was actually a jingle writer, and he is credited with actually writing that song originally. And then obviously it's been done by a whole bunch of people. But
yes.
Yeah, but that's what his that's what he was originally, was a jingle writer, of all things.
Hmm. Actually, the Yardbirds did their version of it as well. Okay, so what's next?
Okay, when you think of the song Respect, who do you think of?
Aretha.
Frank Cars. But she didn't do it originally.
The Queen of Soul did not do it originally.
You know what? That's right.
Do we care who did it? Like, it can't be better.
Wow. I mean, this guy is...
Guy?
Yeah.
Who?
Otis Redding, man.
Oh.
Doc of the Bay.
Oh, respect for Otis.
A legend.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, 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 yeah. Doc of the Bay.
No kidding, eh? That's great.
Oh, I'd like to hear that version.
Huh. That's great.
Yeah.
I just can't picture him doing it.
Anyway.
Especially on that bar scene in the Blues Brothers.
That's the best. The cafe?
Yeah, the cafe. Yeah.
Oh. I know. You better think. That was Think.
Yeah, yeah.
Not Respect.
That was Whatever. Think.
Whatever, Russ.
Wait, you thought that was Respect?
Yeah, he did, obviously. That's why he brought it up.
Let's move on.
What a boob.
You know what? I think you are allergic. I think you are allergic to moose meat.
Fucking moose meat.
All right, let's go.
Oh, man.
All right.
Okay, I'm going to give you the original artist. You tell me what the cover song was. How's that?
All right.
Ooh. Okay, this was Kansas Joe McCoy and Memphis Minnie.
Got it.
You do?
No. Who the hell is that?
We were talking about, Giz and I were talking about the song in the kitchen there. we saw Sammy Hagar and the Circle perform this Jason Bonham on the drums.
Yes.
When the Levee Breaks.
Oh, man.
That's another Zeppelin tune. But so it was originally done by that duo back in 1929. That's how long ago it was.
1929?
Yeah, and Zeppelin covered it on their Zeppelin 4 album. Yeah.
But you said you saw it?
Not 1929.
No,
you think,
that.
You think I'm out? Or what?
No, I was just going to ask you have video of that?
Yeah, I got it.
No.
Yeah, they allowed a lot of when you go to see a show at a casino, they usually tell you can't use your cell phones. I don't know why, but anyway, I videoed the whole version of it. It's classic.
Are we allowed to show it on show notes? Are we allowed to do that? Put on YouTube? Probably not.
Well, if it's on YouTube, I can link to it.
Yeah, why not?
Yeah, it'd be great.
But he would be posting it on YouTube.
Well, then he's liable. I don't give a shit.
Okay, let's do it.
Posted by Chaw.
Didn't he sign a form? It's all good. Anyway, it's a great cover. I love that song.
But it's funny. We were talking about Zeppelin, and I mean, they've made a career out of covering songs.
Yeah.
And when you think about it, most of the songs they covered were by old blues artists who, long before songs were ever copyrighted, and so there was really no public record of who owned the song. And they've had so many songs that have ended up, they've been sued over their use over the years, including Dazed and Confused.
Well, they were also sued over Stairway to Heaven.
Yes, they were. Yeah.
Yep. Yeah,
that's crazy.
All right.
Actually, you know what? You said they covered a lot of blues songs, rhythm and blues, and the Honey Drippers, another example
Sea of Love. That was a cover song by Phil Phillips, his name was. But that's another great song.
Who would name their kid Phil when the last name is Phillips?
I don't know.
Bunch of freaking morons.
There's got to be something going on.
I don't know. Whatever.
Imagine if there's a Phil Phillips the second and third and fourth. Maybe there is. It's an entire family.
Well, that makes
of
it
Phil
even
Phillips.
Worse.
Yeah. Especially if you're the fourth. That's a Phil Phillips the fourth. I mean, it's got a ring to it.
Oh, boy.
That is a great album, though. The Honey Drippers.
Yeah.
Some great tunes on that.
Two legendary guitarists in that band. Who are they?
Jimmy Page and Jeff Beck.
Absolutely. That's fantastic. I love Jeff Beck.
Yeah.
Love his album Blow by Blow. Anyway.
What'd you say?
Yes.
I didn't know.
Oh, okay. Okay. Never mind. Okay. I've got another one.
What?
This is kind of a shocker. Girls Just Want to Have Fun.
Oh, Cyndi Lauper.
Yeah, but
not Cyndi Lauper.
It's not her tune.
Nope.
It's
really?
By Robert, was it Hazard?
Written by a guy?
Yeah.
Girls Just Want to Have Fun?
Yeah.
By Robert Hazard.
Yeah.
Okay.
It takes on a whole different meaning, doesn't it?
It sure does.
I think I'm gonna review those lyrics later.
Really? Yeah, it's not her tune. That's a mind.
So they don't want a serious relationship. They just want to have fun. That's really fun. What he's saying. Yeah, that's too bad.
Too bad for Robert.
I get it.
And then he woke up.
Okay. Twist and Shout by the Beatles. Oh, I know what I think of when I hear that song.
I think of Rodney.
I think of Bueller.
Now, see, isn't that interesting? Because they played that in the street, right?
Yeah, in the parade.
And also in Dangerfield sang it in Back to School.
Yeah.
Remember on stage?
Yeah, that's a classic. Yeah.
But who was originally done by?
The Beatles.
No.
You'd think so, though, right? No, that's who you associate. Who
the
was
Isley
it?
Brothers.
Isley Brothers. I love the Isley Brothers. They're classic.
Twist and Shout. That song's been bastardized. Holy smokes.
Wow.
Okay, what about this? Hallelujah. I can't even find
What the hell did you say?
Hallelujah?
No. Hallelujah, you
that's it. I can't say it.
Say it. Go ahead, try it again.
Hallelujah.
I thought it was Fred Flintstone. Yabba dabba doo.
I can't say it, man.
That, go ahead, say it.
How do you say it again?
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
No, dude, I can't say it.
Oh, my God.
Well, it doesn't matter, damn it.
No, okay. It matters.
It matters.
All right. Well, I'm not moving on until you can say it.
Ah, fuck that.
Anyways.
That's a Leonard Cohen song.
Right.
Yeah.
Leonard's.
Is that favorite. What everybody thinks of?
Well, there's so many versions. Oh,
Jeff
many
Buckley, I think, is the one.
I mean, Jeff Buckley nailed it, right?
He
was
did.
A legendary
it's
cover.
The most tragic one, though, too.
Yeah, poor guy.
And it too soon.
Yeah.
For Jeff.
Do you know what song? You know what happened to Jeff Buckley. You know, he drowned. He drowned off. He was swimming with a buddy. His buddy was on shore, and he went for a swim. And a boat had just gone by, and apparently he got taken under by the undertow. And do you know what song he was singing just before he died in the water?
Hmm.
Whole Lot of Love by Led Zeppelin. That's what he was singing before he died.
Hmm.
Memory has it. But,
wow.
But yeah, but Hallelujah, Hallelujah, Josh.
I can't say
I know
that,
you. Dude.
Everybody.
I'm going to go home and
hallelujah.
Practice.
Do you know who did a great cover of Hallelujah?
Shrek.
Shrek.
Well, he did.
Shrek?
It was in the... Whatever. I like the one by the Canadian tenors.
Katie Lang,
yeah.
Oh, my God.
Well, she sang that at the Olympics.
Oh, fantastic cover. Yeah.
At the Olympics, yeah.
Fantastic. But anyway, well, thanks for bringing that up, John. That was some comedy relief there because you can't say hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
I can't do it. It's really pissing me off.
It's not a U.
Put an L in there.
An L.
Let's just go to something
hallelujah.
Else.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
No, that was close.
That was very close.
That was close.
Wow, let's move on.
Give him some more moose meat.
Holy smokes. What about Tainted Love?
Radar Love.
What?
What? No.
Radar Love.
What did would you say?
Tainted Love. By Soft Cell.
Oh, by Soft Cell.
Yeah, do you know who wrote that?
No.
Gloria Jones. Now, everybody's going, who the hell's Gloria Jones? Gloria Jones was, I think I told you before, was the girlfriend of Mark Bolan.
Oh, yeah. With the car accident.
Yeah, she was driving the car in 1977 when Mark Bolan died. Yeah. Do you know what they named their kid? They had a kid together.
Hmm.
Bolan.
Oh,
no, sorry.
They named him
Bolan. Roland.
Roland Bolan.
Roland Bolan.
That's worse than Phil Phillips.
Dude, that's cruel.
Right? Rollin' Bowlin'.
Rollin',
rollin', rollin', rollin'. Rawhide.
Big truck rollin', bowlin'.
Can you imagine going through life with the name of Rollin' Bowlin'?
Yeah, he's probably a tough kid.
You're going to have to be.
He would have to be tough.
Yeah, tougher than a boy named Sue, I bet.
Yeah.
That's true.
Speaking of, boy named Sue.
Little Johnny. We got a some Johnny info?
Johnny Cash?
Yeah.
All right. So, yeah, speaking about Johnny Cash, who remembers the song Hurt?
Oh, for sure.
Of course. Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, wasn't that amazing? And so who actually happens to know who the original artist was for that song?
No clue.
Nine Inch Nails.
Nine Inch Nails. Trent Reznor. Yeah. And odd about that song, because it was actually recorded by Johnny. He had picked up Rick Rubin as a producer, and the last album he actually recorded before he died about 7 months later. And this song, oddly enough, actually became synonymous with Johnny. And a lot of people think that it was actually written by him, but it was not. But it really suited him at that time. It's such a rich, powerful song that Johnny did. One of my favorites, actually, by Johnny.
It's pretty heavy.
Yeah, it's very heavy.
Heavy too.
Yeah, yeah.
And did I mention that was my first concert seeing Johnny Cash?
I thought you were going to say it was your wedding song, but
Folsom Prison Blues,
Ring of Fire.
There we go. We're hitting on a theme now, kids.
That's okay. My wife doesn't listen to us anyway, so I'm safe. All right, so I've got one. And sometimes who does the song after is better, and sometimes not. This one, Higher Ground, okay, it was by Stevie Wonder.
Stevie Wonder, yeah.
Right.
I love that song.
Right, but a lot of people know the Red Hot Chili Peppers version as well.
Yeah.
Like, I think Stevie, if for Higher Ground, Stevie Wonder's, that's the best.
It is.
I agree.
It is the best.
It yeah. is.
Now,
yeah.
now.
Chili Peppers had a huge hit with that, though.
They did. And they kicked ass with that.
They kicked
do
ass,
a great
yeah.
version
yeah.
of it.
Yeah, and everything that Stevie had done with the keyboards, they were doing with the guitar and the bass. I mean, it was really, really funky.
Right.
Both versions are, just for very different reasons.
Yeah,
that's
for
right.
Sure. I agree.
Yeah.
That's right. Yeah.
Well, that's good. Have you guys ever heard of Eva Cassidy?
Of course. I got a bunch of songs by her.
Do you?
Yeah.
That's refreshing. I'm glad you said that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, because, I mean, she's one of my favorites. She's got such a beautiful voice. She died when she was 33 years old of cancer. But she did a cover of a Fleetwood Mac song written by Christine McVie, Songbird. And it's a beautiful cover. Now, Christine McVie's version... I mean, I love, you know, I'm a big Christine McVie fan from Fleetwood Mac, but she wrote that song and had a lot of meaning when she wrote it for the band, for all the stuff they were going through back in the late 70s, right? But Eva Cassidy did a great cover. And she also did a good cover of Over the Rainbow as well. She did a lot of covers, Eva Cassidy. If you've never heard her, just, you know what,
I've got a whole bunch of songs by her.
She's terrific.
Very relaxing to listen to.
Oh, beautiful voice. Mm-hmm. But that's one of my favorite covers, Songbird by Eva Cassidy.
Nice.
Mm. Yep. All right, so let's continue. Hey, do you remember Joe Cocker when he was performing at Woodstock? Do you remember have you seen clips of him performing at Woodstock?
Yeah, he's amazing.
He sang with a little help from my friends, didn't he?
Yes, remember? He sure did.
Anyway, he was soaking wet. Everybody thought he's sweating. Mary, he was just drenched. There was a hole in the roof. They had that wicked windstorm, and it was raining most of the time during Woodstock. And the ceiling, the roof was opened up and was dripping all over Joe Cocker. So it looked like he was really working it, but he was just getting soaked from the rain. But anyway, that's a cover song.
It's like Flashdance.
I'm a maniac. So who?
Yeah, didn't that get performed at Woodstock too?
A Maniac?
Yeah, by Joe Cocker.
Yeah, pretty much. Different name. Who performed that originally with a little help from my friends? Everybody jump in at the same time.
Beatles.
I think the Beatles.
Beatles.
Of course, the Beatles.
Yeah, I was right.
Of course.
Yeah. I should have portrayed more confidence in my...
Yes. That's when they felt sorry for Ringo. I said, okay, here, go ahead. Try to sing one.
Yeah, you got something.
We had Octopus's Garden.
Yeah, I know, honestly. I love Ringo. He's a great guy. You know, he's really colorful. He's a good performer, but he's got about as much rhythm as a stick.
But I saw him in
He's
concert.
A drummer. He's got
I know, but he comes out from behind his kit. And when I saw him at the casino, he came out and he was singing this song, With a Little Help from My Friends. He had no rhythm. He's like it was brutal. It was like a stick. Anyway, that's Ringo.
That's his all-star band?
Yeah, the all-star band.
Well,
all-star.
That was a
good band, by the way. Todd Rundgren was in it.
That was
it.
A glowing review, wasn't it?
The guy from Toto, I can't remember who that was. Yeah, there's a lot of good guys in this band. Yeah. Let's move along.
Thank you for sharing that.
Let's move along. Right. Anyway, yeah, so that's another cover song. Okay.
Okay, what
you
about...
You had one?
Yeah, I Love Rock and Roll by...
Joan Jett. Listening to it.
Which
on
is
my
a great,
turntable at home right now.
Great song.
It is.
Great, but it's not her tune.
It is not.
No, it was originally done by the Arrows.
Yeah, Arrows.
Yeah. But again, there's one, right? You hear that song. Of course, it's Joan Jett.
Yeah. I almost got to see her perform that live. Almost.
Until she got some tomatoes in the face.
Oh, she got pelted so badly. I went to see the Police Picnic. It was the Police, the Talking Heads, the Modern English.
Reggae, wasn't there?
It was all these, it was all new wave and reggae stuff. And then they had Joan Jett in the lineup because of her popularity at the time. Well, she came out. She no sooner got out, she got pelted with every vegetable and... It was embarrassing. I thought, okay, I guess I don't get to see Joan Jett. She never did perform.
Well, you should have. I actually saw her 2 years ago. It was at the Budweiser stage with Styx, nice. Tesla,
nice.
Joan Jett.
Nice.
And that was a great show.
Yeah, that's a cool Styx. Lineup.
Yeah.
Love Styx.
And you know what? She was actually the highlight of the whole night. She was amazing.
Paired her up at the wrong. John is horrible pairing.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, you brought up Tesla. You know what I think of when I think of Tesla? What song? The live version of Signs by Five Man Electrical Band.
Yeah.
Remember they did a cover of that? There's a cover right there. The live cover of Signs.
Yeah. They turned that into about a 15-minute song in concert.
I bet. Yeah.
It's like, okay, here, play 30 minutes of stuff that people don't know and then give us your 15-minute version of Signs.
Didn't Rush do an album of all covers? Remember
they
that?
They did, called Feedback.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm. It's actually amazing. Yeah, it was all the songs they used to play when they were a bar band.
Yeah.
Buffalo Springfield. And yeah, there's a lot of great tunes on that, actually.
And so did Styx. They had the Big Bang, it was called. And they did a bunch of cover tunes. Yeah.
Really? I never heard that.
Yeah, it's
before.
Called the Big Bang. It's really good. Really good. Yeah. So, where do you want to go from here?
Na 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 na. Na 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 na.
Come on, that's
what is that?
What is that?
Mississippi Queen.
That's right, by Mountain. I mean, their epic song with Leslie West. So you know that song's been covered by about 30 different bands.
That used to be my favorite song way back when. I used to love that song.
I got the 45. Remember that?
Yep, I do.
Yeah, I still have it.
I do.
But
what you were going to say?
Well, it's been covered by about 30 bands, some that you wouldn't even realize that they covered. Like Van Halen did a live version of it. You guys still have to hear that.
That's crazy.
But who had the biggest cover, biggest success with it, other than Mountain?
And you're right. Ozzy Osbourne. And it is
Ozzy.
Amazing. He did a great job.
It's a great song. Yeah, 2005 he covered it, and it did really well. Another good version I like was BTO, Bachman Turner Overdrive. They did it on their live album, Mississippi Queen. Really, you'd love it. Molly Hatchet did a cover of it.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, there's tons. There's tons.
It's funny, about 30 of them. Thinking of Canadian bands that covered big songs, too, don't forget Triumph with Rocky Mountain Way.
Oh, my God.
That is such a great one.
Was that Rock and Roll Machine?
I think so.
I think it was Rock and Roll Machine. Yeah, that's
an incredible cover.
Yeah, that's true. Really good. Who did the original of that?
Mr. Walsh.
Joe Walsh, baby. Yeah, from the James Gang.
Yep, before he slowed it all down for the Eagles.
Right on.
Well,
right on.
They thought they were speeding things up, but Joe was slowing it down.
Yeah, they had to slow Joe down, yeah.
You know, Metallica did a couple of good covers as well. They covered Whiskey in a Jar by Thin Lizzy. I made a joke about Thin Gizzy earlier, but Thin Lizzy's Whiskey in a Jar. Metallica did a great cover of that for the
for the metal fans out there. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, that was a great one. Yeah.
For sure. So listen, do we have any, we haven't really mentioned many country artists that have covered. Who's
country, what's that?
Yeah, country.
Sorry.
But we've got, I mean, Garth Brooks covered some songs as well, right?
Oh, he covered a ton.
He sold a few albums, didn't he?
Well, he's the number one selling country artist of all time.
Oh, yeah. Watch that documentary.
What a great documentary that
is. If you haven't seen that on Netflix, the Garth Brooks documentary, it's amazing. Yeah.
I mean, he did a number of covers. Act Naturally, Midnight Train to Georgia, Blackwater.
Mm-hmm. Blackwater by the Doobie Brothers.
Yeah, he covered that one as well.
Really?
Yeah. The Doobie Brothers' only number one hit, Blackwater.
That's correct.
Yeah.
And Drift Away, who was
Dobie Gray.
Dobie Gray. Yeah. Garth covered that. So yeah, he did a number of covers. But I think one of the things that I'm excited about is to hear Giz's story about Garth Brooks. Like
you had an interaction with Garth.
Yeah,
didn't you?
I did. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, he stayed at that
unknown hotel. That's not a Super 8.
That's right. Yeah. So tell us that story about your interaction with Garth Brooks.
Yeah, that was another interesting night. So I was actually maitre d' of the restaurant at the time. It was a fine dining restaurant in an undisclosed hotel in Western Canada.
Fine dining.
Fine dining. Mm-hmm. Extremely fine dining. Yes, even white tablecloths and silver
utensils.
Yeah. And whatnot. Anyway, so a little bit of a backstory there, because what makes this the most fun story is our chef at the time was quite a character. He had a hell of a temper, and
with a temper.
Yeah, can you imagine?
That's unheard of.
I mean, it's very rare. But I know. We happen to work with one.
All right.
And we used to say he had two sides of his personality. One was the Swedish chef. And when he was happy, he was just cooking away, and he happened to be Swedish. So, and when he was pissed off, he was the animal. So it was two sides to his personality. So this one night, and Garth Brooks was in town to perform, and the restaurant would close at 9 o'clock. Now, if you're in the restaurant world and you have any customers that come in just a few minutes before you close, it's not good. Okay, people are not happy. They especially if it's not busy. And this particular
you
night,
mean the staff are not happy.
That the staff are not happy, right? Yeah, I mean, they just want to get the hell out of there. They're not making any money. Just go home. So it was literally about 5 minutes to nine, and in walks this entourage with the cowboy hats and the whole swagger and cowboy boots and jeans and the whole works. And I'm working at the maitre d' stand, and this guy comes up to me and goes, "Hi, I'm Garth." And I'm like, "Well, yeah, I know who, yeah, we know who you are, right?" This was at the height of his popularity. He said, "Yeah, me and my crew want to get something to eat. And we happen to have this large table we call the captain's table. It was kind of a VIP table. And so we sat him there. It was probably 8 or 10 of him and his crew. And so, of course, I went into the back and said, you know, we've just sat a table," which that sets the anger ometer up about 5 or 6 already, right? So I come back out, and we're trying to get food orders right away. And so anyway, again, this is a fine dining restaurant. There's, you know, this is, you know, come here for chicken fingers and fries. So they say, "You know what? We'll make it really easy on you. We just want beef tenderloin, and that's great. We have it on the menu. We want fries and gravy." Okay.
And how do they want their beef tenderloin done?
Now, so any chef will always say you don't cook beef tenderloin past medium rare at the most, right?
Mm-hmm.
They want it well done. I mean, it's like a hockey puck. It seriously is like a hockey puck. So the staff say, "Listen, you have to go back and talk to the kitchen. There's no way we're going back there and facing the chef." So I go back there and I say, "Okay." And I wrote the order down instead of it going through the system normally, because I knew that was just going to set them off. I wrote it down on a piece of paper and went back and I said, "Listen, the order is very simple. It is 10 beef tenderloin, well done, Well, I didn't even have the words out. I'm not cooking that fucking well done. So I'm like, okay, this is not starting off well. And then I said, and they want fries? There's no fucking fries. And gravy. We don't make fucking gravy. So he
you
just,
make au jus.
Au jus. He freaked out and he just said, I'm not doing this. He threw everything down and off he went and of course left it to one of his sous chefs to, I said, okay, we got to serve. And I said to the guys, you know, it's Garth Brooks and his crew and even this guy, he said, I don't give a fuck who the hell it is. Right. Like, well done, beef tenderloin. Seriously? And I'm like, man, come on. We got to do this. So anyway, I go out there and
chefs are crazy, eh?
They are crazy.
Yeah.
So I go back out and I go, it'll just be a few minutes, for your order. And so just before I'm about to walk back to put the final dagger in, Garth says, by the way, we need a big old bowl of ketchup.
Oh, man.
No. No.
And I said, okay. And so I walk back in the kitchen. I go, I'm not asking anybody for ketchup. So I actually go to room service. I walked past the main kitchen, went to room service. And I said, I need, of course, we used to have these big containers of ketchup. I said, I need a big container of ketchup. So I bring the ketchup back to the table, a big bowl of it. And so when I finally brought the meals out to the crew, they would cut up the meat. And they would dip it into this big bowl of ketchup, and just away they went. And
that's just bad.
Country boys.
Yeah, it was just so disgusting. But I'll tell you, they said, that's the best damn Alberta beef we've ever had in our life. Okay, well, I'm not passing that on to the kitchen, but we'll just take that, and we're happy with that. Thank you very much.
Wow. Well done, tenderloin dipped in ketchup.
Well done, tenderloin. It was a hell of a night.
I think we should try it.
And
not around here, you won't.
I got to tell you, I saw that chef last year at a conference, and we actually had not seen each other since those days. And he actually brought up to me first. He said, remember that night? And I said, yeah, how could I forget that night? So it stayed in both of our memories for a long time.
Now, didn't he walk up behind you, tap you on the shoulder, and you turned around and he said, I'm not making fucking well done.
Oh, yeah. No, he didn't want anything to do with it. And I mean, like I said, he would turn into the animal. I mean, he was seriously scary when he got
now, was
angry.
He of European descent?
He was, yes.
I'm shocked.
Kind of northern Europe, yes. Yeah. So anyway, it was an interesting time.
So Garth, if you're listening to this, this is what you put Giz through.
Yeah. We could keep going and going here. I mean, there's so many cover songs, but we can't really finish up until we have some honorable mentions here. I Shot the Sheriff, Bob Marley song covered by Eric Clapton, right? You Really Got Me by the Kinks was covered by Van Halen, right? Mm-hmm.
Yeah, great cover.
Another one by Van Halen, Pretty Woman, Roy Orbison song, right? Killing Me Softly, one of my favorite songs from the 70s by Roberta Flack. It was covered by the Fugees. Let's go with Take Me to the River, the Talking Heads.
Yeah.
Originally done by Al Green.
I'll take the Talking Heads.
Yeah, me too. Yeah. Walk This Way was a huge one. I mean, that's one that...
Oh, Run DMC.
Oh, Run DMC. You know what was special about that cover, though? They didn't just cover Walk This Way. They had the band members from Aerosmith do it with them. They
were great.
They did it
when they broke through the wall in the video. Yeah, that was awesome.
Oh, it was fantastic.
Yeah.
Without You, covered by Harry Nilsson. It was originally done by Badfinger, and Harry Nilsson thought the Beatles did it. The Beatles discovered Badfinger, and Badfinger actually did it. And then Harry Nilsson said, well, if it's not the Beatles, I'm going to cover it. Because he wasn't going to cover a Beatles song.
It's definitely very Beatlesque.
Oh, for sure.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And you know that song by UB40, Red, Red Wine?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Mm. You originally did that?
Bob Marley.
No.
No?
Neil Diamond.
Neil Diamond?
Neil Diamond. Yeah, Bob Marley did I Shot the Sheriff.
I cannot picture Neil Diamond singing that tune.
It's, no kidding, right? Yeah. So those are some honorable mentions, but...
I should remind everybody to go to our show notes and take a look there, and you'll find a link to a Spotify playlist. And we'll put a bunch of the songs that we're talking about here
in that playlist for you to listen to. All right, so what else you got there, Queeks?
You know, there's a band that has covered a ton. I don't know if it's a lot on their studio albums, but if you look these guys up, it's the Foo Fighters. They've covered a lot of songs. Hey, Giz?
Yeah, they sure have. Yeah, they're actually well known for covering other artists in their concerts. And I got a chance to see them about a year and a half ago. They were amazing, where they actually covered Queen, which is actually their most covered band that they have performed over the years. But it brings me to a little funny story about the Foo Fighters. And it's almost hard for me to actually say their name the right way after this story. But I was watching a little interview with Dave Grohl one time, and he was talking about when they were on Saturday Night Live, and Christopher Walken was the guest host.
Love Christopher
and,
Walken.
And so Christopher Walken is asking the guys before the show, so guys, how do I introduce you? What's the emphasis? Is it on the Foo or the Fighters? And so Dave Grohl said, it's on the Fighters. So he's like, okay, I got this. So when he's introduced him, he goes, and now our special musical guest, the Foo Fighters.
it feels like we have Christopher Walken right here in the studio.
The Foo Fighters.
The Foo Fighters. So I still call him the Foo Fighters even now. It's can't get
I think I
head.
Will too now.
You got to love Christopher Walken.
Oh, for sure.
He's a classic.
Good. Sure.
And with that, I think we're going to wrap up this episode. Right? We ready to go?
I think so.
It's been a great time. Thanks
Giz.
For having me back.
Thanks, Giz. Well, yeah, we want to thank Giz for coming on, and we're going to go back and try to teach Shaw how to say hallelujah.
Yeah.
But next time, can we get the stripper in?
Oh, yeah, sure.
We'll, no offense, Giz, but yeah.
We can have them both.
Work on that.
No offense. All right, so that's it for this episode with Oat,
Queeks,
and Cha,
the Jabber Guys.
Remember to go to our website, jabberguys.com, to subscribe to our podcast, Inside Rock and Weird and Wacky World.